Hey everybody, welcome. Welcome to another car adventure, hooray. Headed to the airport this time. We're actually headed towards the airport at this point, which doesn't sound like a big deal except for I got on the highway and just started going the wrong direction. I was going north instead of south. I guess because I've been going to the periodontist, or is that what she is? The oral surgeon? The gum graft lady, the lady who tortures me in a chair for an hour every so often. So I went the complete opposite direction, and, it took me not a long time, but an embarrassingly long time to figure out that I was going the wrong way. It's not like a long time in as much as like, oh my god, I'm not going to make my flight. But a long enough time that it's sort of embarrassing. This is what happens when you're just like in the car alone though. You just get on this autopilot, right? And you're like, oh yeah. Anyway, I'm in the car, headed that way. I went and saw my other friend, the orthodontist, this week. It was a productive, I got a second retainer. Well, I got a second retainer, but I think it's now become my only retainer, because my first one isn't quite working as well. And so I picked one out. I go in, I pick one out, and they scanned my teeth with like some kind of 3D scanner machine. So what they used to do, not so long ago, they would take a mold of your teeth. So they basically fill your mouth with like this oatmeal shit that turns into a mold, right? Then they make a model of your teeth, and then they make a retainer for it. So what they did this time is they kind of scan your mouth, the roof of your mouth, your teeth, all that stuff, make a model of your teeth, and then make the retainer. So it was fairly entertaining. Here's something I've discovered. When I go to these dental and medical appointments and stuff, there are some nurses and doctors and stuff who are fairly entertained by a peat. You know, I go in and I'm usually in a decent mood, I think, considering. I try to be like nice to them because I think, you know, personal experience at work and shit. I understand. Sometimes when someone comes into a library, they're doing a research paper, they're not going to be in a great mood, right? And I'm guessing most people, when they come into the orthodontist, they're not in a great mood. Because why would you be? I mean, you're like, I'm paying a pretty hefty price to get mildly tortured here. So I try and, you know, joke around or at least be chatty and stuff like that. So when I go in this time, you know, I had a nurse who was like, okay, this is cool. That's the thing. Sometimes they're into it. Sometimes they're like, oh, this is fun. This is different. And sometimes you can tell they're like, I do not care to converse with people. I kind of got into the dental field because, like, people can't talk to you when their mouth is full of my hands. It's like if you were so desperate to not talk to people that you're like, I kind of just want to cram my hands inside your mouth to shut you up. You can actually do that in this position. I would make a great career counselor, huh? You want a job where people can't talk to you? How about a job where you stab them in the mouth and then cram your hands inside their mouth? But anyway, this lady was kind of into it. You know, it started because she unveiled my new retainer, and I picked orange with glitter embedded inside, you know, sparkly orange. And she got it out, and I was like, ah, I'd kind of forgotten what color I picked. So that was a fun reveal. So then she's like fitting in the retainer and all that stuff. And, then we're just waiting. She's like, well, we'll have the doctor come look and make sure it's, you know, I don't know, fine. Not going to kill you somehow. And so we're waiting, and in this bag is a, you know, a model that I'm pretty sure is my teeth. So I pointed that, and I'm like, are those my teeth? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, can I look at that? And she's like, sure, you know. So I take it, and I'm kind of looking at it like, well, this is pretty cool. I've never, you know, whatever. And she's like, you can take that if you want. And I was like, really? And she's like, yeah, you can take it. You can take this bag that it came in, too. Which, it was weird that she offered me the bag. Because she's like, you can also take this plastic bag. Because, I mean, it was a Ziploc bag. I don't know why the bag was like a... At that point, I felt like, well, are you just telling me that because you're like, hey, why not take everything? Save me a trip to the garbage can. Because she did say, she's like, we just throw them out. Which is crazy. I was like, you don't want to like put them on some kind of, I don't know. A bunch of tooth models is the perfect thing to have for my like, you know, I always talk about, oh, I'll have this house someday, and then I'll have a secret room that's walled off for my ancestors. What's the opposite of your ancestors? Decestors? Incestor? No. Antecedents? Something. For the people who come after me to find, right? How great would a whole, like, wall of just dental models be? And then I could scrawl crazy notes on the teeth and stuff like that, like tiny little sharpied notes on the different jaws, like orange juice is the key or something like that. And just, you know, a bunch of stuff like that that has no... And then C jaw number whatever, and then there's a jaw number whatever, and it has another cryptic weird thing. I just think that would be a great... I think that would be great. So I'm a little disappointed they just throw them away, but I was happy. It's always good to ask. I think that if you ask, they can't, you know, that shit belongs to you, and they just throw them away. Now, to be fair to them, they probably don't know why anyone would want to keep them. Because Poonmaster Flex was like, what are you going to do with it? And I was like, I have no idea, but that's irrelevant. I want to, like, make a trophy for myself, you know? Like... Here's to, you know, the last 7 years of being tortured. Or, I don't know, make a gift out of it. I heard someone told me once, this is like one of those things, every once in a while, something, I hear something that just fascinates me, and then it's going to stay in my head forever. And it'll probably end up like in a story or something someday, but it was at the leadership class I'm in, right? And this young woman was like, we were introducing ourselves, and she said her mom has kept all of her baby teeth. So this young woman lost her baby teeth, and her mom, you know, I don't know if she tooth fairied them or what, but she still has all of them. Which is crazy, right? I mean, great, but crazy. So anyway, I have this now. I have a thing too. So I took that home, and then it made me, you know, it's been a little while since I've thought about dumpster diving. The last time I thought about dumpster, well, no, that's not true. It had been a long time. Then the gym where I go work out, I go in one day and the rowing machine has mysteriously disappeared. And I was thinking about dumpster diving for it, because I was like, what if it's just there in the dumpster? And I can have that. Rowing machine seems like a pretty good... If you're going to have a machine, seems good. Now, downside of the rowing machine, I think it seems really boring. It definitely seems like an unexciting way to exercise. But, you know, you get a fucking TV, and you're fine. Plus, I just... It's, you know, full body. Legs, arms. Even, I think the rowing machine, even at a fairly low pace... is still not a bad workout. Anyway, so I thought about dumpster diving for it. You know, there were a lot of concerns about, like, how am I going to get, even if it is in there, how am I going to get it out? How am I going to get it in my car? And I was like, it's probably not in the dumpster, right? They probably have some kind of service that takes this shit away. Probably? Lots of question marks here. Point being, but before that, the last time I had considered dumpster diving had been a really long time. I do have a thing at home. It's the top of a podium that we threw away at the library Well, I threw it away because I was directed to, but also really wanted to. We had this shitty-ass podium. You know, it's just like a normal podium that you could set up in our meeting room, right? Now, of course, at this point, we have like a smart podium, I guess is what you might call it. It hooks up to a projector. It's got a computer in it and stuff. Also functions just fine as like a normal podium with no gizmos. So we really never use it, because this other thing is this smart podium's on wheels and this other podium was not. And it was all shitty. I mean, it was wobbly as fuck. It was, you know, it was a piece of junk. It needed to go. And it was heavy as hell. And so it's like, you know, when you have a piece of shitty furniture that you're like, this is unstable and heavy at the same time, which is kind of an amazing combination. That's what we were dealing with there. So I threw it out, but I smashed it before I threw it out so it would fit in the dumpster. And the top of it, I was like, you know, this would make a good sort of platform for all my podcast equipment. Because then what I can do is transfer it from the desk I have. I have a desk in my apartment that's kind of set into the wall, right? It's like a built-in, which works great when I'm there alone and terribly if I have a guest, right? Because how do you both get around a built-in? So I was like, well, this works really well. Because now I can just move this over to the kitchen island and have a guest and not really have to do a lot. So I dumpster dived that. But other than that, it's been... I like how I'm like, I haven't dumpster dived anything or even thought about it in a long time. And I'm like, well, other than this one thing that I really deeply considered dumpster diving but didn't. But mostly because it was difficult. If I knew that rowing machine was in there, I almost definitely would have done it. I definitely would have done it. Let's not even put almost in there. I would have gone for that shit. And the other one, I mean, not really dumpster diving, right? Because it never went in the dumpster. It was like, and I was throwing it away. So I guess in a way I was just waiting for it to... I was waiting for the green light to just take it home. And when the objective was throw it in the dumpster, then I felt like, all right, you can take this home. Country road, take me home to a podcast where I belong. Tempted to dumpster dive at this orthodontist, though. Tempted. See, here's the thing. What would I do with all these fake teeth? I don't know if anyone would really appreciate that. Also, I wonder if this is like... I feel like this is a thing I could get in trouble for. Is a model of someone's teeth considered like a medical record in the way of like, you know... Would this be like if I was dumpster diving and stealing x-rays or something like that? And can you get in trouble for that? Because here's the other thing. As far as I could tell, there was no... There's nothing on mine that would... allow me to find out who I was. You know what I mean? Like, no one could just find that model and then be like, oh my god, this is Peter Dirk's teeth. And then, I don't know. I also don't know what they would do with that information. But at the same time, I'm like, it probably is like some kind of violation of something. So I don't know. Seems risky. Seems like a risk that I don't know if I want to take, but I kind of want to take. I wish, you know what I need to do? I think that, I think you can get away with a lot of shit if you pretend you're doing it for a college class. So, like, you know, I'm a little old for that now, but I could be like, I'm taking some photo classes at the university. I wonder if I could get some of these, like, some more of these teeth models from you. If, like, anyone is willing to donate them, or if you're willing to turn them over... And then I can, you know, take some photos of them. I just, you know, I thought it would make for some good fodder here. And then I could get them, right? I mean, would they just hand over a garbage bag of them? They'd probably say no. I mean, people probably say no when there's really no benefit to them, which I get. Yesterday, a guy came into the library and wanted change for a $50 bill. And then I was like, well, how big is his fine? Can we just waive his fine? You know, because this involves like unlocking a drawer and then taking out this briefcase lockbox and then making the change, right? And, you know, we don't always have the change. And so it was like, how big is his fine? Because maybe we should just waive his fine rather than make change. And the person was like, oh, well, he doesn't have a fine. He's just looking to make change. And I was like, boy, that really makes me want to not give him change. And I did, because we had the 20s, and 20s do us no good anyway. But I was like, god damn. Nothing in it for us. Who the fuck, by the way, goes into a library and is like, can you make change for a 50? I'm not going to... He's not buying anything. Or he's not paying a fine. He's not buying anything from the vending machine. Because why would you buy something from the vending machine with two 20s and a 10, right? He's just like, I don't know, this seems like a good place to make change. And I feel like this is probably the worst place to make change. Get some at Target. Go anywhere else. Like, why would you make change? That's like, I feel like an asshole if I buy a coffee with a 20. Because I just feel like, ugh, this is like $2 or $3. And now you got to make me $17 and change. Like, that just seems ridiculous. But that's... At least a coffee shop probably has money. You know what I mean? I would never spend a 50 at a coffee shop. Like, ever. Poonmaster Flex was walking around with a hundo for a long time. I can't remember how she got a $100 bill. But somehow she ended up with a $100 bill. And it was just like, we were constantly... She was like... waiting for an opportunity where we got a bill somewhere or like ate out at a sit down type place where it was costly enough to make it worth $100 bill. And it took a long time. It was like, you should probably just deposit that at the bank at the ATM, because like, we're not classy enough for that shit. We're just not classful. We're classless. We're not class more, we're class less. The Super Bowl is coming up, you guys. Are you excited for the Super Bowl? I know I am. Super Bowl predictions. I saw on TV last night at the gymnasium. It's so, like, going to the gym is funny for me because it's like, that's the only time I see TV. And so you get these brief glimpses of what's going on in the world, which... right now seems to be basically nothing. Nothing exciting. Someone at work was telling me her mom was really into genealogy and was kind of making fun of, you know, I don't know, from like Long Island. And so her mom would look at these newspapers, and each little town had its own newspaper, and it would be like, you know, Miss So-and-so coming home to visit her grandmother for break from college would be an actual story in the newspaper. But I was like, okay, well, A, I don't know if that's stupid, because A, how much dumber is that than, like, Beyonce is having a baby? Like, why do I care about, I don't care about that. I don't even know Beyonce. I know of her, but, like, at least if it was someone I knew. Plus, maybe that serves as a, you know, maybe the person who works at the paper, his best buddy was dating this lady at one point, and he's like, ooh. She's coming home. He should know. He should know if he wants to make himself scarcer, or maybe get a fucking haircut. Or a little bit of both. Maybe get the haircut, make yourself scarce, but that way, if you just happen to run into her, you'll have a haircut and be like, well, at least I did that. But it just doesn't seem that much dumber to me, because it's like, well, at least I might know this person. Or know the grandma. I mean, at least I might know the grandma and be like, oh, that's nice for her. Oh, that's nice. But the other thing, the B, is like, I mean, how different is that from what happens today? You know, you can tell, like, I mean, that's a slow news day, as they say, right? But back in that day, it's not like if something's happening in Kentucky, that in Long Island, it's got to be pretty major, right, for them to report on it. And they don't, like, have somebody on the scene. They're a small-town newspaper. That's what they do. So it's kind of it seems really dumb at first, and then I felt like, eh, maybe it's not that dumb. Maybe it's just, like, whatever. It's the same shit. They're like, we gotta fill a newspaper, so let's do this. Today, it's like, we gotta fill a newspaper, so let's put all this shit in it that sounds important, but really, I mean, what difference does it make? I mean, what do I care that this is happening in Kentucky or West Virginia? And it's like, I don't know these people. I don't know anything about it. Whatever. What difference? What do I care that some lady made a joke about AIDS on Twitter and then got fired from her job and so on? It's like, why is that something that I have any... I have no special knowledge of that, or like, oh, well, everyone comes to ask me what I think about, you know, the limits of comedy or something. No one cares. At least if the report was like, you know, someone you knew from high school is coming home to visit for a week, I'd be like, well, at least I have some of an opinion on that. Probably like, oh, that guy's an asshole, or, oh, that guy's pretty cool. Like, at least I have something to say about it, or some thought. And so, like, last night on the TV at the gym, the story that they were showing was Patriots headed to Minnesota for their hotel stay before the Super Bowl. So the story was not really about the Super Bowl. It wasn't really about the Patriots. It was just that the Patriots are headed to Minnesota to stay in a hotel in, you know, preparation for the Super Bowl. Like, whoop-dee shit. I mean, wouldn't you think that's what they were going to do? I don't know a lot about football. I guess I felt like it was a little early. Like, I don't know when the football game is. The Super Bowl. Thank you, Peter. I didn't know when the Super Bowl is, if it's like next weekend or 2 weeks. But either way, I felt like it was a little early. But that's fine. You know what? That's fine. Head out that way. I'm also not a football coach. So what do I know? Maybe it's like, no, you take them out there. They focus on the game. They're not, you know, at home with all their distractions and whatnot. We just focus on the game. I mean, I cannot argue that I know better than anyone else how to win a Super Bowl. Certainly not better than whoever's in charge of the Patriots. Bill Belichick, is that still him? I don't even know who they're playing in the Super Bowl. I guess maybe it's Minnesota? Is that how the Super Bowl works? Do they play in one of their home situations? Home stadiums? Where do the Patriots even play? They're like New England. I'm like, what does that mean? Everywhere? Everywhere except England? Like, I know it's not in England. I know it's not in the South, not in the Deep South, but what the fuck? They're like sort of, their name is such a regional name to me. We're the New England Patriots. Oh, okay. I mean, last time I checked, the Denver Broncos, that's a place, right? The Minnesota Vikings, that's a place. But the New England Patriots, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Is the Vikings, is that racist? I feel like that might be racist. I mean, it's not, it doesn't seem as racist as the, some of those, you know, Atlanta Braves where they're doing that choppy thing. I remember that was a huge thing back in the day. They were like, oh, this is wrong where they're doing this choppy thing. Which I don't even know what that was supposed to represent, because it looked like it, I don't know, people were doing this like chant and chopping. It was like a karate chop. A slow motion karate chop, which I guess is like, I don't know what that was supposed to be. I guess this is why it's good to sometimes do this in front of a computer, because I could look it up and be like, is that supposed to be them like chopping, like scalping somebody, I guess, in, you know, slow motion? I didn't get it. But anyway, that was like a big thing. So the Vikings don't have a thing like that. They don't have like a motion where they stand up and like rape and pillage, I guess. So that's something. It could also be, I feel like some of these teams get in trouble because they have, all right, like, if the Vikings had, you know, Steve the Viking, and he's this, like, racist caricature. But, you know, it's like, well, you got, like, a big blonde-looking dude with braids, like, pigtail braids. I don't know. Isn't that wrong? I don't know. I don't know. We had this, I had this debate, not debate. We talked about this because, Poonmaster Flex, I was telling her when I was in youth soccer that, like, all of our teams were named after Native American tribes from the area. So from Colorado. And we were the Utes, right? U-T-E-S. It's like a, group that lived mostly in the mountains. And she was like, ooh, that's bad, that's racist. And I was like, I don't know, it's not, we didn't have, like, mascots. We didn't have this or that. I think that the intent was for us to learn about, you know, the Native American people who lived in the area. Like, you know, so you'd have the Arapaho, you had the this, the that. But it wasn't like, it wasn't really... like, the team names were important. I mean, we didn't have... we all wore the same uniform, which was a t-shirt that was double-sided. Red on one side, blue on the inside, and then you could flip it inside out. So, like... so you'd show up to the game. This was kind of an ingenious thing, whoever came up with this scheme. I show up to the game because I'm, like, six. And I have one shirt to bring. And then it's, like... if I had two separate shirts, a red shirt and a blue shirt, and I had to keep track each week of which one to bring, that would be impossible. But because I was, you know, because some genius was like, let's just make it inside out. There's a shirt on the inside and a shirt on the outside. So you flip it inside out, bam, now you're on the blue team. You flip it right side out, bam, you're on the red team. So anyway, everyone wore the exact same shirt, and it was blue and red. So it's not like we didn't have little badges or anything. We didn't have a mascot. We didn't have anything like that. It was just a designation of the different teams, which I think was intended to, like, share some knowledge with us, I guess. But I don't know. Maybe it was racist. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, it helped me learn the name of one tribe. I know almost nothing about them, but it helped in that capacity, on that level, so that's something, I guess. It gave me no idea of, like, what the Utes were like, and it's not like, our coach didn't give us a speech like, you represent these brave warriors or some shit. It was just like, eh, yeah, we're the Utes, you guys are the Hopi or something, and there you go. Anyway. Super Bowl prediction. Well, I'm not even sure which two teams are playing, so that makes the predicting a little difficult, if I'm being honest with you. I want the Patriots to win, not because I want the Patriots to win, but because I think that's what the least people, what people want the least. You know, because that's, like, boring, right? It's like, how many times can these fuckers win the Super Bowl in a row before... everyone's like, oh, God, enough already with your constant victory, the Patriots. So I would enjoy that. I would enjoy that quite a bit, and that's why I'm rooting for that. Because I just think that... I think that that would make other people feel how I feel about football most of the time, which is like, eh, who gives a shit? Like, who cares? Which team do you think is going to win? I don't fucking know. Who cares? Like, they're all the same. They do the same thing. Super Bowl, the only good thing about Super Bowl is not the commercials. It is the food. And I don't mean, like, every party you go to has good food. I just mean that football and tailgating type food, that is my kind of food. I like it a lot. I have a lot in common with that, you know, with, like, that crowd. It's like, let's have a bunch of beers and a bunch of really good, shitty-for-you food and hang out for, like, about 4 hours, which is the right amount of time for that, too. I like that. I just, you know, I wish... it would be nice if you could flip a switch and be into certain things. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if you could sort of meditatively make yourself interested in football. I kind of doubt it. Or if one could. I'm sure one could. I don't think I could. I just don't care. There are just so many things I don't care about. But if I could, I might. I would want to be able to turn it off, though. But it would be handy for, like, talking to, you know, men at bars. Which makes it sound like I'm a hooker on the point trying to, like, pick somebody up. And it's like, if I knew a little bit about football, that would be easy. That would be a good suggestion, though. If you're, like, if you're a lady and you're hardcore looking for a dude, I don't know, spend your 10 minutes. You know, we all do this thing where we probably browse the internet for 10 minutes, which turns into, like, 35 minutes in bed in the morning. Add just, like, a little bit of football news to that. I feel like that increases your chances of being able to talk to a guy, like, 50%. Just throwing that out there. Especially as we get older. But yeah, I don't know. I've never had that sports fandom thing. I've just never been interested in sports. Probably because I suck at them. I mean, if someone was proffering that thing of like, well, you just don't like sports because you're terrible at sports, and I'd be like, I mean, that's possible. That's entirely possible and entirely likely. I think Malcolm Gladwell would agree with you. So there you go. But I don't know. There's plenty of people who suck at sports who are, like, interested in sports, right? Doesn't seem like, your average football fan doesn't exactly seem to be Mr. Fitness, as far as I can tell. So I don't know. But what do I know? I know nothing about shit. I know shit about fuck when it comes to this stuff. I'm making the decision right now to not pass this minivan because my exit is coming up. But last time I drove this way, I made a similar decision and was stuck behind the slowest fucking minivan in history for a really long time. So I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this. You know, this drive to the airport is not so bad. The way I go kind of this back way. No I-25. No Highway 85. It's really not so bad. I don't really mind driving. It's just the traffic. And you know what I really don't like too? Like, this way you go, it's pretty consistent because I think there's almost no stoplights. Once I leave town, I think there's no stoplight until I get to very close to the airport. I mean, I'm like 15 minutes away from parking by the time there's stoplights again. And then there's constant stoplights and traffic because fuck the airport. Fuck the airport. Denver has the dumbest airport in some ways. They're friendly there. I like it in some ways. But man, are they fucking dumb the way they set it up. Because here's the thing. Number one, like, now the train goes there from downtown, but that's still a terrible option. The train in Denver is expensive as hell. And, you know, I would have to drive into downtown Denver and then park and then get on the train. So that's not really a great... Oh, God. I gotta wait for a train to cross here. This is gonna take 1,000 hours. Although I think I see the end of the train, so that's a plus. I do. So it would be just as much hassle to go and park, and you'd probably spend just as much paying to park. And then it's like, and then you got the extra hassle of like changing transportation modes halfway through your trip, right? I get out of the airport, I get on the train, I da 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 da. And, like, the airport at Denver, too, it just, there's, like, not really great direct road. Okay, there's a guy in a cement mixer in front of me, and we're stopped for this train, but it's not going to be that long. He's, like, getting out to inspect his cement mixer trailer or whatever. And he's giving me a look just now, like, fuck you, buddy. And he's, like, pounding his tires and stuff, and I'm like, oh, that fills me with confidence. But just, like, the look he just gave me... I mean, I am holding a microphone here, but he gave me this look like, fuck you. And I'm like, no, fuck you. Maybe check up what's going on in your car before you leave the house or the work site or whatever, wherever you're leaving from. I'm going to be really pissed because he's not in the car and the train is going here. The train is gone. This motherfucker needs to get in his fucking car and get going. What a deal, though. It's like, would you have done that if we didn't have to stop here? Would you have just gotten out of your truck? And we're like right near, they're building like a gas station. There is a completely empty lane next to us, a turn lane that will be used for this gas station. He could have easily pulled off into there and then done his little inspection. You don't have to do it in the middle of the road. This makes me crazy because all the time out my window at work, it's like people get excited, you know, if your office has a window, and I'm like, I guess it's something to look at. That's good. But for me, it's just torturous because all I see is the crazy driving maneuvers people make. For one thing, always turn in on the wrong side. So we have an island at the exit/entrance to the library. And there are two lanes when you leave, a left turn and a right turn. And then there's one lane to come in. And, you know, the in and out lanes are separated by an island. I would say 75% of people who come turn into the out lanes. Now, at first I thought, man, people just must not see it as you're coming up. They must not see that there's the two things. But I see, because I've been there so long, I see regulars all the time. And the regulars turn into the wrong side just as often as, you know, non-regulars. Which leads me to believe that they just, for some reason, are lazy or think that that is quicker. Which it totally isn't. Oh, god damn it. This cement mixer is going my same way. Of course. Of course he is. Of course he is. Oh, Christ. This is the bad part of this drive, because there's a part where you're on just, you know, a two-lane blacktop, and if you get stuck behind somebody who's, like, going slow as shit, I mean, you're screwed. You're totally boned. Ugh. Not even 20. Like, we just turned onto the road, and we're not even going 20. But I'm gonna zoom right past, because this is a 55-mile-an-hour zone. All right, this must be really exciting for everyone as I narrate all the driving that's going on, but sometimes I get distracted. What can I say? I get distracted when I'm going 35 miles an hour below the speed limit. It's difficult. My life is difficult sometimes. It's like when you're in the plane. Here's what I don't understand. One thing I don't totally get. We'll leave the airport. Right, and we're in the plane and we're just flying, and I don't really keep track of like what time we left and what I try to not look at my watch really while we're flying, because that does me no good. If I look at my watch, all that's going to lead to is me being like, oh fuck, we're going to be doing this forever, like this is the rest of my life. So I don't look, but then a lot of times we'll be coming in and they're like, we're going to be about 20 minutes early on our flight. Which is weird, because we also often leave. Something I'll say about Frontier versus Southwest. Frontier, I don't think we've left on time once. I've been on planes that are like half full, and we do not leave on time. And they're always like trying to rush everyone to board. They're like, you know, get your shit together and let's board this plane. But I'm like, you started boarding us like 10 minutes before, you know. 10 minutes before we're supposed to be leaving, everyone should be seated on the plane and we should be ready to go, right? If you're not going to do that, then we're fucked. This is another thing I love. People on a country road who are going to turn off the road and they just stop. They just stop driving. No signal, no nothing. They just hit the brakes. Like this guy in front of me has hit his brakes. I don't know why. I don't know where he's going. What are you doing? We're now going to... Okay, see, use your fucking turn signal so I know. Because here's the other thing. I was going to blow by him. on the left, but it's a good thing I didn't because he turned left. This is important. It matters. This is my public service announcement. Use your turn signal. This is something that I also feel about robot cars will be better. It's like people always... Everyone does this. They're like, I use my signal when I have to, you know, when there's other people. But if there's nobody else around, I won't use my signal. And I'm like, you don't know that there's no one else around. Just use it. Just use it all the time. It's not like, oh, my hand is so tired from the signal. I'm a million years old and I'm like Mum-Ra. But, you know, the non-powered up version of Mum-Ra. I do not understand anyone's obsession with Thundercats. Like, is this something that people... I feel like it must be something that people have memories of that they haven't really reevaluated. Because, like, it's not good. And it's so formulaic. I mean, like, I guess that's something that appeals to some people. But, like, you're watching it, and it's just like, okay, Mum-Ra's this, like, decrepit old mummy man. And then he says some kind of chant, and then he turns into this ripped mummy man. And it's like, why wouldn't you just be this ripped mummy guy all the time? Like, why do you transform back and forth? It's like, it's kind of like the Power Rangers, you know, everyone's like, why don't they just get in the giant robot right away? Every time they do, it's not like they've ever done an episode where the Power Rangers... So, you know, they come out in their astronaut suits, do a bunch of karate, get their asses kicked, kick a little ass, goes back and forth. Then the monster they're fighting turns giant. So then they get in their individual robots, and then they combine robots to make the Megazord. And you're always like, A, why don't you just come out in at least robot phase? Like, why do you need to know karate? Also, like, why do you need to know karate to drive a giant dinosaur? Like, how do those skills, how does that help you at all? I mean, how does it matter that you're like, oh, I know how to do kung fu and therefore I can drive a giant T-Rex robot? I mean, if I was looking for a driver of a T-Rex robot, I don't know if martial arts skills would be on the thing. Oh, by the way, So, to keep anonymity, we'll do that. But I had a friend who left a job and found out from her coworkers who are doing the new job search that, like, three of the finalists for her new job, all for some reason, included on their resume that they're, like, a black belt in one martial art or another. I don't know why you would include that on your resume. I mean, it's kind of like, I think maybe it's like, you know, putting Eagle Scout on your resume. So it's like, oh, it shows that I, you know, have a stick-to-itiveness or something. This fucking bird is in the road. Didn't want to move. It shows I have commitment. It shows I can see something through to the end, right? But I don't know. Knowing this job, this is not a security job. This is not a, it's not a job where martial arts would weigh heavily on the decision or at all. And in fact, someone's decision to include martial arts kind of makes me feel like they don't know what the job is. Anyway, so you're like, why don't the Power Rangers just start in the giant robot? If not the giantest robot, just the medium giant robot, at least. But then... You're also like, why wouldn't the bad guy just start as humongous? Like, you know, what's her name? Rita. Which I always thought it was really funny that her name was Rita. Because it's like, I don't know if that was her name in Japan. I kind of doubt it. But it's like, that's just not a villainous name. You know, like, sometimes the names they pick for things in Japan are not... It's like they're trying to make American-sounding names, and you're like, I mean, Rita is a waitress. Rita is somebody who works in an office. Rita is not a galactic villain name. Rita is your mom's friend who, you know, does art on the weekend. Really likes the sip and paint. I don't know. It's not, she's not like a villain who's trying to ruin the world. Zed, that's better. That's a guy whose brain is outside of his body. I get it. So you're like, Rita, why don't you just fucking throw this monster down there full size to start with? We all know what's going to happen. It's like this chess game, you know, where the Power Rangers are waiting for them to make the first move. The Power Rangers always wait for them to make the other guy giant, and then they're like, ooh, I guess we better get in our robots. And then they're like, now we're going to make him super giant. They're like, ooh, okay, we better get giant as well. So, like, Thundercats is like this, but way stupider. Because it's like, all right, this guy's carrying around this little sword, and then he goes, thunder, thunder, Thundercats ho, and, like, a little Thundercat symbol shows up, and the sword gets longer, and I think he somehow gets more powerful, but I'm not totally sure on that. So that one I kind of get, because you're like, well, if I had to carry around a sword, it would be cool if it, like, turned small into a knife. I'm sure anyone in, like, medieval times, if they were like, you can carry around this sword, it'll shrink to knife size until you want it to be sword size, I'd be like, all right, sounds like a deal. I feel like that's handy. They'll let me into a bar with a knife, but probably not a sword, right? But then, like, the Mumra guy, he's like this fucking crippled old man. And then he turns into this bodybuilder mummy who's much more terrifying. I mean, the like shrunken skeleton mummy is frightening in that he's like a mummy. He's like a skull face. I mean, he's horrifying to look at. But he's not intimidating. He doesn't look like he's much of a man. I mean, it kind of looks like, you imagine if Lion-O, the main Thundercat, and this guy fought, that it would just be like Lion-O punching a sleeping bag full of balsa wood. Just destroy it. And that would be that. How is that exciting? As a kid, you want the good guy to win. Like, you're not really into the whole, like, it'd be fun to see a problematic. You're just kind of like, yeah, kick his ass. But I think that even as a kid, you've got a limit where you're like, I don't know, man. If the Ninja Turtles were just, like, beating the shit out of Shredder, and he's just on the ground, and they're just kicking him with their weird toed feet while he's on the ground, I think that that would get weird. I think that that would get, for most kids, like, I don't like this. I don't want to watch this. Like, this isn't fun. It's not fun anymore, right? When they're just beating the shit out of him and he's like coughing up blood and he's like, okay, I that's enough. They're like, I don't think so. You fucked us last time. Ninja Turtles, though. I mean, okay, so like, I feel like people into Thundercats are like, if I started watching Ninja Turtles again, I don't think I would enjoy it that much. You know what I would enjoy? I saw this like supercut online of Krang and Shredder, and they're basically like an old married couple. They're always like going at each other, and Krang's always like, when are you gonna build my body? And Shredder's like, later, I'm Uncle Phil. Everyone finds that fascinating. But I kind of like when Krang is bitching at Shredder, and Shredder's also kind of bitchy. I don't know, they're just like this funny, you know that they fuck on the side or something. Whatever you do to a giant brain. But you just get the idea that they're enmeshed in an unhealthy way. Like, a therapist would look at them and be like, you guys need to have other people that you talk to and surround yourself with that aren't just minions. Because clearly you're both used to dealing only with, like, people who report to you, not people who are your equals or, you know, colleagues, let's say. Colleagues in Ninja Turtle fighting. You just talk to people who you're in charge of, and that's not working. That's not a healthy way to go through life. So I'm going to need you to change your system around a little bit. Okay? Okay. I like how we just got, you know, I just got into talking about these old shows like that. Like, that's an interesting topic. What's interesting? What do people listen to this for? I don't get it. I don't know what the appeal is. There's, like, one person who I know why listens to it, and that's Poonmaster Flex, because it's like, oh, it's like talking to me, but, you know, without the exhausting part. And also, when I start talking about Thundercats, you could just kind of tune out, right? You're like, eh, I'm not interested in that, but I can just kind of half listen. And if I don't get the full Monty, that's fine, because I'll just come back in when I hear something interesting. Well, I'm getting pretty close here, so I'm going to probably let you go, because it took me a little longer to get to the airport today, and I want to be speedy when I get to the parking and stuff, so I'm going to let you go. But I did want to say, thanks to Patreon donors. You guys are a bunch of sweets. And I wanted to say, too, because Poonmaster Flex is probably going to become a donor. And she brought up some things that I was like, oh, yeah, these are good points that maybe other people are asking these questions to. So one, she was like, can't I just give you like $5 a month? Can't I just give that to you in cash so Patreon doesn't take it? And I was like, well, you could. But here's the thing is, A, Patreon does not take very much. I think they take like $4 a month or something. Maybe less. Maybe it's two. It's not much. So that's not a concern. And B, because I don't have a lot of donors right now, it's more valuable for me to see, to have, you know, when somebody else gets on there and is thinking about donating, to see like, oh, there's like 10 people on here. Having that additional donor to me is more important right now than having those couple dollars. That's a bigger gain for me right now, in theory, in my theory. The other thing is, she was wondering, like, you know, how much do I have to donate a month? And I was like, it's very low. I mean, I think I have an option on there for $1 or $2. Whatever the lowest amount is, you can donate that. It's not like you don't have to donate like $15 a month. It can be, I think it's a dollar is the lowest. It might be two, but I think it's a dollar. So for $1 or $2 a month, you know, you can be part of the team. Here's the other thing, like, why use that instead of just having people straight up give me money? And I think it's like way more effective. Like, I'm a big fan of automating. I think automating is a great way to save money. Which is weird, because I'm encouraging you to spend money, but hear me out. Automate your bills, automate your this, automate your that, but also you can set up a while ago automated deposits into my savings. So like every week and then once a month. And you know, like at the end of the year, I augment that. So basically whatever I make in a raise, which this year ends up being like $40 extra a month, but whatever, that becomes part of my monthly donation to myself. But the point is, it's a lot easier to save if you do it automatically, because it's like you don't have to think about it. You don't have to like transfer it. You don't have to look at your balance every month and be like, maybe not this month because I got this expense coming. Instead, you have to go back. You know, if I want to go and if I need to put more money in checking, which I do sometimes, then I have to do it by going back into my account and moving the money from savings to checking, right? Instead of going in like every week and moving money from checking to savings. So the more stuff you automate like that, the better off you are. And the easier it is, and like the less painful it is. It's just like way less painful if you don't have to go in and do a thing every month. If you just set it up and then it happens every month automatically, and then you're like, cool, this feels good. I've been trying like crazy, and I even emailed them off the Streets Club, because they have a donation thing, and supposedly you can set it up to, you know, do a monthly donation. I don't think it works. And I've tried to do it like 3 times, and I keep waiting for the day when they're like, oh, we've got this queue of automated donations we need to approve. And then it'll be like, you're donating $400 a month. And I'll say, well, I want kids off the streets, but maybe not that far off the streets. Maybe I'm not, I might not be at a financial level where I can contribute to keeping all the kids off the streets. I just, you know, let's try and just get a lot of them off the streets, huh? West economy is open. Excellent. So anyway, I just want to encourage people to do that, because just having your name on there is helpful to me. And it's not a big financial commitment at all. I get it. If you can't donate, don't. If you can't make it happen, don't do it. But if you feel like you can, then go for it. If you feel like you can make that happen and help me out by not just contributing the money, but it's like contributing support. It's like doing one of those things like an iTunes review, right? If you haven't done an iTunes review, please do it. Just give me a fucking 5-star review. If you've listened to this, I'm not going to say you owe me a 5-star review, but that's how I feel. If I've entertained you for an hour, what does it cost you to put 5 stars next to that? There's not like anybody out there who other people are saying, oh, well, this is a trusted reviewer on iTunes. Is there any like big reviewer on iTunes that we all follow? No. Nobody even knows who else reviews shit on iTunes. So just do it. Just put a 5-star review on there. Take 5 seconds right now. I will talk you through it, and you can give me a 5-star review. Okay, open up your computation machine. Now, these directions will probably be irrelevant in 4 days. So by the time you hear this, iTunes will probably look completely different. It'll be a new shade of gray with new fonts that take 1,000 hours to load. It's like every time I update my computer, it goes a little slower, and I get to look at a different spinning beach ball. That's like, oh, well, this is a prettier beach ball, but it's like, I've never invested so much disdain in an object before, in a digital object, as I have that spinning fucking beach ball that's just like, the spinning beach ball of death is what most people call it. I call it the spinning beach ball of fuck you. It's like, oh, what do you think that you're going to get? You're going to accomplish something? I don't think so, my friend. So open up your iTunes and go into the upper right and click in there. Now, this is where you search. Now, you can search in library or search in store. Search in store for Helpful Snowman. Click on the podcast so that you're on the podcast's page, and then you should have an option to write a review in the lower left corner. Write a review right now. And just say something like, you know, if you liked cereal, you'll love this. And, you know, spell it with a capital C-E-R-E-A-L. Because then everyone will know you're a moron and say, like, this person does not know what they're talking about. But maybe they do, and if they do, that was pretty funny. Let's just leave a shadow of a doubt. If you think you left an iTunes review but you're not sure, check. And just give me 5 stars. There's no reason not to give me 5 stars. I don't know what you think is going to happen. Like, your mom is going to find out. Your old college professor is going to find out. You gave that 5 stars, and on the strength of that, I listened to. I don't even know how to look at a person on iTunes and be like, what have they given 5 stars? I don't even know enough to do that to be insulted by, like, well, they like my show and this other bullshit. And trust me, no one's doing that. Nobody in the world is like, it's not like if you listen to Magic Tavern, that guy is getting on iTunes and seeing, like, what else? When people give me a 5-star review, what else do they like? And then being like, oh my God, only morons like my show. I mean, that may be true, but that's why you don't do that. That's why you don't look at that. D through M, huh? I'm going to park in D. Must be pretty empty in here today. Oh God. Only a monster would do that, is my point. Only a monster would be like, oh, I gotta see what other people are saying about my show versus other shows. I might park in this area. Double D. It just looks empty. This lot is very empty today. This is I like this. I'm looking forward to, I'm hoping that next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, because when I fly out, I'm like, that's going to be awesome. If I fly out on Super Bowl Sunday, that'll make it so easy. I'll just zoom out of here. Because, I don't know, do people not fly on Super Bowl Sunday? Are they like, I think most people stay home, right? It doesn't seem like a lot of people fly out on Sunday anyway, but I'm just saying, like, it would seem to me that people really don't spend a lot of time traveling on the Super Bowl. I don't know. This is why it's, like, handy to know stuff about sports once in a while, because you're like, I would know enough to know when the Super Bowl was. I always think, like, I need to plan to do some kind of painful activity on the Super Bowl Sunday. The Super Bowl Sunday. But, you know, you can't do anything. This is the other shitty thing, is it's on a Sunday. Like, I want to change Super Bowl to Thursday. Because then it's like, all right, the rest of us who are sane can go, like, I'm going to go to the DMV. That's the day I renew my license, is Super Bowl Sunday, because I don't give a fuck about the Super Bowl. I don't care about the dome. I don't care about Pepsi. I don't care about Bud Light. Well, I don't care about Bud Light. I want beers to exist. I think this is a spot I can park in. All right, this is going to take some doing.